Good morning. What a wonderful day to be together in the house of the Lord. Amen. I want to begin with a story today. There was once a man who inherited an old house that had a walled garden behind it. When he first stepped onto the property and into the space the garden once grew, he realized it was in terrible shape. It was overgrown with weeds. The soil was dry and cracked. The plants barely clinging to life that remained. It had once been a beautiful, thriving place, but many, many years of neglect had left it barren. Determined to restore the garden, the man began working. He began pulling weeds, tilling the soil, planting new seeds, but no matter what he did, no matter how much he fertilized and watered and worked the garden, the growth was slow. Frustrated, he visited a nearby farm and began to talk to the farmer about what was going on and what was needed. And the farmer said, look, you can't grow a garden alone. First, you need good soil. You need to know what plants are right for the soil that you have and the region that you're trying to grow the plants in. But most importantly, you need a community to tend it with you. That is so true, isn't it? We can't do anything alone, can we? We stand on the shoulders of giants, those who have come before, those who have struggled and learned, those who have something to teach us by word or by example. So this man invited friends and neighbors to help. Some brought seeds, others brought tools. Together, they planted, they watered, they cared for the garden. And over time, barren land began transforming into a place full of life, with blooming flowers, fruit growing in a space where people gathered and worked and found community together. Faith is like a garden. It takes intentionality for our faith to grow. It takes a certain orientation of our hearts and our lives to receive what the Lord has to give through his word and through his presence. Just like we can't figure out how to grow a garden without the knowledge and presence of a community, however it is that we get that, we can't grow our faith in isolation either. It takes intentionality. It takes relationship in order for the seeds of faith that have been planted deep within our souls to take root and to grow tall. And so that's what we seek to do as a church family. We seek to grow in faith together because we cannot be Christian in isolation. I am convinced that faith flourishes when we grow small. Now, what I mean by that is you can come and worship in any way that you do that. Whether you get your worship through a podcast every week or you join another church in another place online, or whether you come and sit in the pews of this beautiful place among the people of First Methodist Church, you'll get something out of being here for sure, and worship is an important part of our spiritual development. We talked about that last week. But to truly grow, to be transformed into the image of Christ, we need to grow small. We experience church most personally and completely in small groups. That's just the way of it. In worship, it's really kind of a one-way transaction. You hear from people who are leading liturgy on stage, you respond. It's kind of a call and response sort of thing. But in a small group, you're sharing life together. You're tending to one another. You're caring for each other. And that's important. You're learning, but you're also being transformed as you work out your faith together, as you seek to apply God's word to your lives. Pastor Eric earlier today talked about one of the ways that we gather for small groups here at First Methodist, and that's through Sunday school. We have just revitalized and relaunched our Sunday school for every age. There is never been, at least in the last 3 years that I've been here, a better time to jump in to begin Sunday school. The season of Lent is a time to do that. If you haven't yet found a class, I'd encourage you to talk to those in the congregation, reach out to one of our pastoral team so we can help get you plugged in. But there are also other ways to get plugged into small groups as well, through midweek Bible study, or I'll be talking a little bit later about in-home small groups that we plan to launch later in this year. But as we work through this, I hope that you'll begin praying about how to get connected to a group. Let's look at our text today from Colossians chapters 1 and 2. Let's talk about how growth happens in our lives. First, growth begins with the gospel. In Colossians 1:6, it says, "The gospel is bearing fruit and growing throughout the whole world, just as it has been doing among you since the day you heard it and truly understood God's grace." God is growing a kingdom that spans the entire globe. But that kingdom begins in you and I. This is important for us to remember. We cannot neglect our own growth because God is growing a kingdom through people. We are the raw material through which God's kingdom comes. And spiritual growth begins with the gospel. It is rooted in Scripture. That's why we study Scripture daily. That's one of our core values. Seek God daily through word, through prayer, through community. Because we have to grow spiritually through our engagement with the word. Paul celebrates the Colossians' faith in Christ, their love for others, and their hope in heaven. These are the marks of a growing believer: faith, hope, and community. So I wonder, how is the gospel taking root in your own lives? How is the gospel taking root in your own lives? And are you sharing the gospel with others? Are you helping others to cultivate it? Some say that we learn best by teaching. And so it's important to get into a place where you're helping others to learn and understand the gospel and to apply it in their lives as well. But you've got to start somewhere. The first step is to get involved in a group. And the second is to let God raise you up to begin teaching. So growth begins with the gospel. Second, growth happens in community. In our text, it says that you learn from Epaphras, our dear servant, who also told us of your love in the Spirit. And so then, as you just received Christ Jesus as Lord, it says in chapter 2, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. So Courtney introduced us to this concept of discipleship. And discipleship is done in relationship. You see, here in Colossae, Epaphras taught the gospel to the people there. He mentored and taught others who then were raised up to mentor and teach others. You see, this is the principle of multiplication. We learn and then we teach. And as we teach others, they learn and they teach. And the gospel begins to spread in that way. Being rooted in Christ means that we're planted in a faith community that nurtures our growth. So community is the soil with which our faith is planted. So remember, we cannot be Christian in isolation. That's why you hear me talking so much about the importance of getting involved in a small group with other groups of people. That's how you're going to grow in your faith. And so I want to ask you a couple of questions here. Who is discipling you? Who is discipling you? I mean, truly investing in you relationally, looking at your life, where you struggle, how you might grow. If you don't have anybody serving that function, ask someone. My second question is, who are you discipling? See, this is a two-way street. Are you investing in the faith development of someone else? Now, you may say, well, Pastor Lance, I don't feel ready for all of that. I mean, who am I to teach the faith to anybody? I feel like I'm just learning. I'm going to say this. You have everything you need to help nurture faith in someone else. You do. Because when you don't have the words to speak, the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you. All you have to do is to open up your hands and your heart and to offer your presence. And through your presence, the very presence of God will come forth. And God will guide you. And so who are you being discipled by? Who is discipling you? And who are you discipling? Because discipleship flourishes in relationship. Third, our growth requires spiritual formation. In our text, it says, we continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you might live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Now, this is where community is important again. Knowledge plus action equals transformation. Knowledge plus action equals transformation. When we study the scripture in isolation, we gain knowledge. When we come together with other Christians, we begin to put that knowledge into action. And when our faith and our works line up, transformation occurs as a result, and others experience God's kingdom. So we're being formed in a particular way, formed to bear fruit. I love springtime. I love watching plants that have kind of gone to sleep for the winter, lost their leaves or whatnot, begin to flourish again. In spring, you begin to see the purpose that each plant provides. Some sprout leaves, like our trees, that provide canopy and cover for us here on earth, that cool the ground, that provide a place for birds to live. Other plants flower so that they might produce fruit. We are designed by God to produce fruit. And when we are planted in the gospel in community with others, and we begin to bear the fruit of our faith, we discover our purpose. And we help others to discover their purpose as well. So let me ask you a question at this juncture. Are you actively seeking to grow in your faith? Or have you become stagnant? It's an important question. Faith, discipleship growth in faith doesn't happen by accident. It happens through intentionality. And so do a heart check with me real quick. How are you doing at growing in your faith? Have you stagnated or are you moving somewhere? Here's my next question. What step will you take to deepen your faith in Christ? Fourth and finally, our growth strengthens us to endure as we care for one another. In our text, Paul says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, giving joyful thanks to the Father. I don't know about you, but life doesn't always go the way I want it to go. Does it go that way for you? Life is tough, isn't it? It's hard to find the courage to endure the hard things that come. Sometimes we freeze. We don't know where to go, so we go nowhere. But in community, we care for each other. We lift one another up. We pray with and for one another. We help keep each other strong and moving and growing. Did you know your relationships with others in your small groups are doing that? Have you experienced that in your own faith walk with your small group? I know that I have, and I see it in this church. When someone is sick or in the hospital, your small group responds first, often before any of us on the clergy staff hear about it. That's amazing. When someone comes home from the hospital, your small group members bring food for an army to last weeks very often. That's the way you care for one another. Food isn't just food. It says, you've got this, and you're not alone, right? You can do this, and we are here to help. Mutual care helps us to carry one another's burdens. That's what we do. In a small group, when somebody's absent, people notice. And when you notice, what do? You pick up the phone, or you send an email, and you check in. Don't underestimate the power of those things, of noticing and of checking in, because in doing so, you might just be saving someone's life, pulling them out of the pit of despair or depression, right? We are seen in community. And so my question here is, how are you encouraging others? And what steps can you take to do so more completely? This is what I want us to know, that growing in faith is a lifelong journey. It begins with a decision to follow Jesus, but it continues in community throughout our lives. There is never a time that we are too young or too old to grow. There's always something new to learn and to discover. Second, just like that garden that flourished when the community came together and helped one another, we need to stay rooted and built up in Christ, bearing the fruit of faith together. So this is what I want you to do, church. I want each and every one of you to find a small group of people that you can grow in faith with. Maybe it's a group that you assemble yourself, one or two people that you want to get together with on a regular basis and just share life with. You don't need us to help you do that. You can do that on your own. But if you're looking for a group within the church, we've lifted up several ways. Get involved in Sunday school. You can just show up on the fourth floor on a Sunday morning and one of our pastors will help guide you to a class that you might try out. And you're trying out a class for fit. You might not fit in the first place that you come. That's okay. Classes know when you're new that you're trying to see if you feel like you can be a part of the community and the life of that class. And classes encourage you to try out multiple classes before you land. If that's too big of a step, come to a midweek Bible study. We do one on Tuesday for everyone and Thursday for men, and there'll be others coming as well. And stay tuned for the fall when we begin in-home small groups in neighborhoods all throughout the city, where you can invite friends who aren't a part of First Methodist yet into growth and faith in a living room. And that's a much easier step to take than driving across the city and coming into a building you've never been in before, right? It's easier to come on somebody else's arm. And so I hope that you'll ponder your next step and how you're going to be intentional about growing in your faith in the days ahead. Our grow strategy calls us to experience spiritual formation, discipleship growth, mutual care, and Christ-centered community across all ages and stages of life in short-term Bible studies, small groups, and Sunday school classes. Faith flourishes when we grow small. Together, we'll bear fruit beyond anything we've ever imagined before. Amen.